place in this canon of scriptures, which is given by the inspiration of God. And that expression is, ye were without Christ in verse 12. And these four words describes the state and the condition of the Ephesians before they became believers and followers of God's blessed Son. Describes their state, their condition. But that's not all. It does not only describe the condition of the Ephesian believers before they became believers in the Son of God and followers of the Son of God. It also describes the state of every man and every woman on the face of the earth who is yet an unbeliever. The expression is that at that time, that is, before they became believers, ye were without Christ. So not only describes them, but it describes everybody who's alive at any given time who is not yet converted to God. Those who are not converted unto God, who are alive on this planet Earth at this minute, are without Christ. That's the state and condition of mothers and fathers, sons and daughters of Adam's human race. They're without Christ. This is the way the Bible describes it. Ye are without Christ. If you was to meet a friend on the street, a good friend or lukewarm friend, or a passerby, and struck up a conversation, you ask him if he had been converted to God, and he said no, well, then you could justly tell him that he was without Christ. And if he was without Christ, he was without hope in this world. And there are multiplied thousands of people, men and women and boys and girls, from Maine to Florida, and Florida to California, California to Oregon, and to all the other countries in the world that are without Christ, are not converted unto God, and they're strangers to God. And if they die in that state, they will not fare well at the judgment. Be without. I said, you remember now, it's not one of my inventions. It was not first said by me. I've been here these many years. And I doubt if there's anything that I've ever said that wasn't secondhand. They've all been quotes from other men or Bible. I've invented no expressions. haven't even invented some cuss words. They've already been said before I said them. These words were not first said by me. Paul reminds these Ephesians what their former condition was. See, he said, then at that time, prior to being converted to God, at that time ye were without Christ. You were aliens. You didn't have citizenship papers. When they came to this country from Ireland and Scotland and Italy and Czechoslovakia, Poland, to work in the mines on the railroads here in the United States, when they came, they were aliens. They were not citizens of this country. And eventually, they became citizens. They became good citizens of the United States. They was aliens. Aliens from the United States of America. And these that Paul describes here, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, they weren't Jews, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's what Paul is describing here. At that time, you were this, aliens, without God in this world, strangers from the covenant of promise, no hope and without God in this world. He reminds these Ephesians what their former condition was before they heard the gospel and before they believed and received the gospel. They were buried in idolatry, these Ephesians. Idolatry and heathenism. They were worshipers of the false goddess Diana. That's what they were at that time, prior to the grace of God being brought to their souls, giving them a clear understanding of who God is and who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished here on this earth on their behalf. Before they found this out, they were strangers. What does the expression mean? It means that a man without Christ is when he has no knowledge of Him. A man without Christ has no knowledge of Christ. And you can, you know, just think about it a little bit and just try to remember what your conversation is during the day, various people that you come in contact with. Sometimes you have conversation with them. Sometimes it's not even a how do you do. It's just goodbye. Most of those that you come in contact with, most of them, there's millions and billions of them. They have no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ at all. None whatsoever. So what does this expression mean? A man is without Christ when he has no knowledge of Christ. Now, some can, and especially at this particular time, at this time existence of the country and the situation that's going on in high places. Millions, no doubt, are in this condition. They know not who He is or what He has done or what He has taught. They can tell you more, no more of Christ than they can about Mohammed. I can't tell you anything about Mohammed. I don't know much about Mohammed. Mohammed is not my God. He is not my Savior. He's no deity. Mohammed, most people know more about him than they know about God's Christ. They say, some do, as a matter of fact, most do, when you talk about the Christ of God, they can tell you that all men or all mankind eventually will have a part and interest in Christ, whether they know Him or not. Now, that's the theory and philosophy of the majority of people at any given time, at any given place on this earth. They believe and will tell you, if you talk to them about Christ, they know nothing about Christ, no clear, intelligent understanding of who He is and what He's done. They'll tell you in response to what you've said, they'll say, well, now all of mankind eventually will have a part and interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. They say all men and women, however ignorant they are while they live, will go to heaven when they die. Go to heaven without Christ? Go to heaven without knowing God? Go to heaven without knowing Christ? That cannot be. Listen, over here in the book of John is a verse I want to read to you in light of this. John chapter 17. They say, as I've said, that all men and women, however ignorant they may live, that somehow by the mercy of God that they'll go to heaven when they die. And listen to this in John chapter 3, or John chapter 17, verse 3, it says this, and this. Now this is John, was banished on the Isle of Patmos as a martyr. This is one who laid his head upon the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. John, not John the Baptist, that great prophet. This is John, the beloved of God. John the apostle, John the disciple, John the follower, of John the believer. And this is what God inspired him to say. It says, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. To be without God is to be without Christ. To be without Christ is an end so bad that even in my human nature, I cannot describe. Men say that they'll go to heaven when they die, without an interest. Lord Jesus Christ. Whether they know Him or not, they say, we believe that God somehow will show mercy before we die. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That's very plain, isn't it? Now, over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Second Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. Listen to this. Verse 7 says of that first chapter. Paul said, and to you who are troubled, he could be speaking to all of us, I guess, because we all, man that's born of woman is full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. All got trouble. If you haven't got any trouble, it's just because you've just got out of trouble. If you haven't got it now, look forward to it because it's coming your way. So, to you who are troubled, rest with us. This will bring you some rest. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Now listen to this. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does that sound like men and women who live in total rebellion against God and His Christ and are strangers to God and to Christ, that they'll, in the end, somehow go to heaven when they die? No, sir, it does not sound that way to me. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Well, eternal life, then, is that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. To be ignorant of Christ is to be without Christ, and to be without Christ is to be without God. Now, I know that there's many, at any given time, they can tell you that Christ was born of a virgin, that He suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified, dead, and buried. They can say that because they learned that at school. They have it stuck fast to their memories. They'll never forget that. But they do not make use of the knowledge that they have. They have no heart faith. We are saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not of works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy have He saved us. They have no real intelligent confidence in His person, in His blood, and in His righteousness. All are alike. They are without Christ. Without Christ and without hope and without God in this world. without Christ. The Ephesians at that time were without Christ. Ignorant. Didn't know who He was. What He done. Well, there's some folks who will tell you. And whether their intent is good or not, I don't know. But they'll tell you that if a man is baptized, that assures him of a place in heaven. They say that all members of the Lord Jesus Christ are members by virtue of their baptism. And certainly, I believe in that holy ordinance of baptism. I believe that a man ought to obey the command. Man, woman, boy, or girl that's been converted to God and a follower of Jesus, he ought to follow his Lord. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, our Lord said, and them that believe, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I believe that. I believe in baptism. Certainly I've But baptism does not save you. Baptism is a picture of Him who did save you. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. That's what that is. But most think that all who are baptized, whether they're baptized so-called as babies or growing up, that they are, by virtue of that baptism, a member of God's family and that they have a good hope. Well, let me read something here in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We have one here that says different. Here in this 8th chapter, it says that there was a certain man in verse 9 of chapter 8 called Simon or Simeon, any way you want to pronounce it. A certain man, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Said that he was a great fellow. He had some power. I don't know. I think maybe as a magician. To whom they all gave heed. They all listened to this fellow. From the least to the greatest. And they said this certain man called Simon, who used sorcery, they said, this man is the great power of God, is what they said. And to him they had regard. They took him into consideration and revered his name, revered his person, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip's preaching the good things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, when they heard Philip preaching who God was and who the Lord Jesus Christ was and what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished, they were baptized, both men and women. They said, why? He's our Lord, our Savior and our Redeemer. And we're going to put on His uniform. We're going to be baptized like He was baptized. Now, it says, Simon, he had a fictional experience here. It says, Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, this sorcerer, he continued with Philip, wondered, and behold, the miracles and signs which were done by Philip. And when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto the Samaritans Peter and John. And when Peter and John came, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now here's old Simon again. And when Simon saw that laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He said, I'm going to buy some of this. I'm going to buy some of it if I can. Saying, give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now Peter came to the forefront, and Peter said unto him, he said, your money perish with you, because thou hast thought that the gift of God's eternal life. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now you remember, he was baptized. Simon was baptized with the rest of them. It says now in verse 21, said, Simon, you have neither part or lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And Peter told him, he said, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. He said, well, if you're baptized, here's a fellow who was baptized and he wasn't saved, was he? He's still in the gall of bitterness. He wasn't saved. To be without Christ. Well, the Bible says that he, well, let me read it to you, John 3:36. John chapter 3, verse 36. I think it says, he that believeth not. Chapter 3 and verse 36. The last verse of the chapter. Verse 35 says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Has turned over unto him all flesh. Now in this 36th verse, here's the verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. What is it to be without Christ? Is to have no hope. Well, how do we get to know Him? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, that's what it says. Man's got to have a real, intelligent confidence in the Son of God, that the Son stood in his place. Took his place, paid his debt, stands for him now, and will stand for him in the time of judgment. And everybody else that has not this confidence is without Christ and without God and without hope in this world. And men are not saved in virtue or the baptism. Simon Magus was baptized, yet we are told that he had no part or lot in this business of salvation. Head knowledge is no proof that we are joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil knows well enough. The devil has hid knowledge, and the Bible says the devil believes God and he trembles. So hid knowledge has nothing to do with it if it's not applied by faith. God knows all of His people from eternity. But man knows nothing of anyone's justification until he first believes in the Lord Jesus Christ with an intelligent comprehension of who He is and what He does. The question then is this: do I believe? Do you believe? Am I a follower? Are you a follower? To know Christ is eternal life. Them without Christ know not God, or know not Christ. The Bible says, he that believeth not the Son, he that believeth not the Son. The Ephesians had not yet believed in the Son at that time, and he described their state. And John describes it here and says that he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. It's imperative to believe the Son, the gospel, the blessed good news that Christ died for my sins, paid the debt that my sins owed, paid that debt, suffered the penalty due me in His own body on the tree. Did that for me. To believe that. To believe it makes me a follower of Him. I want to follow Him wherever He goes, wherever He leads. That's the evidence. That's the evidence that I believe that I want to follow Him. I want to be baptized. Not to save me. God's already saved me by the gospel. I want to identify with Him. I want to keep His command. To be without Christ is to be without God. How can such a worm as a man have such low ideas of God and then at the same time believe that he can approach God and God will hear him when he prays? Man in his natural state prior to the good news falling upon his ears and penetrating his heart and his conscience, he has low ideas of God. He cannot perceive or conceive the pure, holy, holy Lord God Almighty that cannot look upon evil. And yet he thinks with this low esteem that he could come to God and talk to God without a mediator. We have one, the Lord Jesus, who's our Savior and our Lord, who died and was buried and rose again and is seated on the right hand of God to do what? To be our mediator, to intercede in our behalf. Without Him, we have nothing. Pray all you want to. But if you don't have a mediator, if you've got a mediator, you've got Christ. But if you don't have Christ, you have no mediator. You have no one to plead for you. Surely you're not going to go to court. You who are ignorant of the law, ignorant of what the law demands, you're going to go defend yourself. You're putting yourself in the hands of a fool. Get you a good lawyer who knows something about the law and something about your case, and let him plead before the judge. There's one there in glory, a man like I'm a man, yet a sinless man, a man who had never sinned, a man who was tempted in the same points that we're tempted, but yet never yielded. Man without sin, there he is. Was crucified and buried and rose again. There that pure man lives on the right. right hand of God. And when I pray, He interprets my prayers and gives my prayers understanding, makes my plea and desire known to God the Father. To be without Him is to be a pauper. I'd rather be a pauper on the street and have no place to lay my head, no place to go for shelter, than to be without Christ. Oh, no friend. How can anyone talk of God's mercy and God's love separate and independent of the Lord Jesus Christ? That just doesn't make sense. It's foolishness. God out of Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 29, says God out of Christ. God apart from Christ is what? He is a consuming fire. You cannot separate God and Christ, the love of God and the love of Christ. God's merciful, beyond question, rich in mercy, plenteous of mercy has God, but His mercy must flow like a river through Christ, the appointed channel, or it cannot flow at all. If it does not come through Him, it will not come at all. Listen to what it says in the Scripture. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent Him. That's what the Scripture says. There can only be peace in a man's conscience when the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ has been applied to his soul. When a man's conscience wakes up, men without Christ have a dead conscience. But when God and His dealings with a man awakes his conscience and he begins to think about his past sins and his present sins, and he begins to think about a judgment to come, and he then begins to search and listen. And when the gospel falls upon his ear, that satisfies his guilty conscience, and he flees to God's Christ and has the blood and the righteousness sprinkled on his foul soul. A man with a good conscience is a man that has... I'll quit after I say this. A man with a good conscience, a man that knows God and knows Christ, as his sin bearer, as his debt payer, as his righteousness before God. He has a clear understanding that his life and his death and his righteousness is and was an actual payment for the debt that he owes. He understands that. He has an understanding of it. That when Christ died and was buried and rose again, he was paying my actual debt, that person. So I'm not trusting in a scheme. I'm not trusting in a creed. I'm trusting in a person. I believe in a person. And that person is the Lamb of God who took my place. I don't deserve it. I never deserved it. If I deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. It wouldn't be grace. There's not a thing in me, not one, not a spot in me that you could put your finger on that's worthy of the least consideration of God and His Christ. It was by His grace. His grace. His grace was given me in Him. Amazing grace is what we're saying. How sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. Let's stand. Meet again for a few minutes.